Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's episode of Entrepreneur Shit Happens. I'm your host, T. Marlene, and I'm asking you to don't forget to hit subscribe and share our podcast. Also, leave reviews or voicemail messages. On this week's show, Kesha Troy and I speak with the content creator and copywriter, Crunch Rajani, and she takes us on her journey to entrepreneurship and gives us some tips of the trade. Hope you enjoy. Bye.
IRS notices can be intimidating, but waiting to act could cost you your valuable taxpayer rights. Don't try to handle the IRS alone. These agents are trained to track you into agreements designed to collect as much money as possible. Don't pay thousands of dollars to a marketing company claiming to be a tax resolution firm. Get behind the shield. The enrolled agents at Elite 8 Tax and Financial Services are experts at tax resolution, protecting taxpayers' rights, and are federally licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. Elite 8 Tax and Financial Services has the knowledge, skill, and experience to assist you with audit representation, liens, levies, offers in compromise, innocent spouse relief, wage garnishment, back taxes, and more. Don't lose sleep, time, or your rights as a taxpayer. Make your appointment today at elite8financial.com to schedule a consultation and get the IRS off your back. Get behind the shield.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Can you do us a favor and tell our listeners who you are and what do you do?
Hi, my name is Crunch. I am a copy and content writer for purpose-driven professionals. I help people with emails, with blog posts, with articles, with just getting information, valuable information out to their dream clients so that they can, you know, share their message, share value with folks so that they can, you know, grow their business in that way that doesn't feel kind of like salesy or slimy or sleazy that many people are worried about, because you're leading with like content first. But I'm also actually in the midst of like redesigning and re-envisioning my own business and shifting maybe in a different direction. So that's where I'm at right now.
Oh wow, that's exciting though.
Yes, I'm very excited about the new direction that the universe seems to be pushing me in. So I'm excited to explore that, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity as an entrepreneur to kind of like take the opportunities as they present themselves and like have the freedom to kind of explore different options and see what makes sense for me at this point in my life, you know? So that's where I'm at.
Awesome.
Okay, before we get this started, I just have to know, how did you get your name, Crunch?
My name is Crunch.
Yeah.
Actually, funny story that you should ask. It's actually my nickname that my friends gave me when I was 14 or so. So I've had it for about 20 years now. And I legally changed my name 4 or 5 years ago to legally have my name as Crunch, because I feel like it resonates with me better. I'm just Crunch, man, you know?
I can rock with it. I'm just curious. That way, you know, in case the listeners be like, did he say Crunch? So what made you become an entrepreneur?
I kind of fell into it by accident. So my one true love, I guess, is traveling, and I love traveling. And I started traveling almost a decade ago. And I started traveling with savings that I had, you know, gathered together from doing my full-time job at that time, and started traveling. And as things go, you spend your money and you run out of money. And I didn't want to stop traveling. So I started looking for ways to, you know, how can I keep this going? How can I make money while I'm on the road? And I kind of fell into entrepreneurship by accident when somebody was like, hey, do you want, like, I was writing a travel blog at that time so that my mom would know that I was still alive and hadn't died in the forests of somewhere.
That's good.
And so my friend reached out to me saying like, oh, you're a good writer. Would you be interested in doing some writing work for a client? And actually I got started doing podcast show notes. And then it just kind of like went from there as I, you know, got to know more people in the online business space, figured out how it works, and then like got connected with more people. People started referring me to other clients, and from there it kind of like just grew out of nothing, kind of, you know, just taking opportunities as they came, you know, and right. seeing like, okay, maybe it's time to explore like what it could look like to have an online business. And, you know, I've been able to build up my business to a point where I can support my traveling lifestyle and, you know, do all the things that I want to do with my life while being able to pay the bills. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Not everybody can say that. So that's awesome. Well, what do you love most about being an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I love the freedom and flexibility that it gives me, that I can firstly pursue my passion of traveling. I've been to over 50 countries and I've been able to continue working remotely through it all. And, you know, just being able to like immerse myself in the local culture, not just waiting for like 2 weeks of vacation at a time. I get to, you know, live with the locals and like go to places that locals go and do all of those things. And so entrepreneurship has been being in charge of my own schedule and making my own, you know, like rules about like how much I want to work and who I want to work with. And all of that's like been really amazing to support my travel lifestyle and also like to, you know, be able to support my family in times when they need to. So like, you know, when my mom had a surgery and she needed somebody to care for her, I was able to like go back and support her through that time. And I don't think I could have done that with a traditional 9-to-5 job, but as my own boss, I could, you know, work while she was resting or like take calls in the evening when she was like, once I was done, like looking after her and that kind of stuff, you know. So that's been fantastic for me. And that's really what I love about entrepreneurship is that it gives you so much freedom.
Right. That's funny. It's like a running theme because our very last guest, she said the same thing. She went to, I think it might have been Jamaica, and she was only supposed to stay like 2 weeks and ended up staying for 6 months, but she was still working the whole entire time and being able to do that,
that's a vacation.
Yeah, that's a vacation. So that's really cool. So universe, I'm taking this in. More than one person has talked about this, so.
Yeah.
So what have you found to be challenging about this whole thing?
About entrepreneurship, like what isn't challenging? I wish somebody had told me that like it's not a walk in the park, it's not easy, it's not, there are definitely like days when you're just like, what am I even doing here? Why am I doing this? Right. You know, and you're so mad at everything, but like honestly it's just you, because it is just you, right? Like you don't have a boss to get mad at, it's just you. Like if you don't have clients or you don't make enough to pay the bills, like that's all on you. It's a lot of responsibility. I don't think it's for everybody. It does require a certain kind of personality or certain skill set that that allows you to keep going regardless of when, you know, like you get a bunch of rejections. You're right, trying to sell something and people are just like, nope, 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 nope. And you're like, you got to not take that personally, you know, it's not a reflection of you as a human being. It's, you know, not the right fit. It's not the right offer. It's not whatever, right? Like, but it has nothing to do with you. And that requires like a healthy self-esteem, I think.
Definitely.
And for me, it's been also a lot of personal growth, like coming up against my own personal beliefs about who I am as a person, like my relationship with money, and you know, just kind of like dealing with all of that has been challenging, to say the least. But you know, with the right support, like, you know, friends who are also running businesses, or like with the support of a mentor or a coach or something, like it is easier, but you know, it's still hard.
Definitely.
I can see that. Well, you mentioned having friends and all. How has your entrepreneurial journey impacted your relationship with your friends and family? Has it made your circle smaller? Has it grown? Has it impacted it negatively or positively?
So that's a good question. A lot of people that I knew before I became an entrepreneur, like my family and friends from like high school and university and all of that, they're just like, I have no idea what Crutch does, you know? They have no concept of what it is to be an entrepreneur. And so like, I don't talk to them about that side of my life because, you know, for most of them, it's just kind of like, that's just wild, you know, like to be able to set your own schedule and to like not have an have a boss to answer to, but also like the challenges of entrepreneurship is something that is just beyond them and they're not interested. And so like I keep my conversations with them like to other things. Mm-hmm. And also at the same time, I found like an incredible community of other entrepreneurs through attending like networking events and being in like certain coaching groups or like, you know, different containers for entrepreneurs to meet and network with each other. And I found incredible support from these folks who are also on that journey, right? Like, right. And having people there to like kind of cheer you on and to say like, yes, you can ask for a $10,000 contract. Like, it's not too much money, you know, for a lot of people, like $10,000 is a lot of money, but if you're talking like corporate contracts, $10,000 right. is a drop in nothing. The ocean. Like,
right.
So, you know, it's being able to, you know, who to talk to when you have challenges in entrepreneurship, the people that you would ordinarily talk to about your personal relationships are maybe not the people that you would talk to about like your entrepreneurship problems, you know?
Right.
You gotta find your folks, and it does take some time. I mean, I've only recently found people like me and like connected with other business owners that, you know, we're all on the same page about like what we want to do with our businesses, what kind of impact we want to have in our communities, and, you know, not just grow a business for the sake of making a lot of money, but for having a bigger impact that, you know, benefits other people beyond just, you know, like building wealth for myself, for my family, or, you know, my immediate circle. So that's been cool.
Yeah, finding your tribe does definitely take time and trial and error. So you definitely, you know, you'll find that you don't fit with everybody. It's not, you know, we can all be entrepreneurs, but we all don't have the same mindset, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And we have different priorities, right, in terms of what we want to achieve with our businesses, right? Some people, for some people, it's about building a legacy. Some people, it's about making an impact. Some people, it's about, like, you know, I don't know, having a, like, making a difference in the world. And obviously, like you said, some entrepreneurs have just totally different goals. Like me and Jeff Bezos, we don't have anything in common. Okay.
Right. And some people are chasing it for the lifestyle, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really crazy. So throughout your entrepreneurial journey, like what's been the worst thing that has happened or you experienced? And how did you bounce back and what did you learn from that experience?
Whoa, that's a good question. What is the worst thing? I don't know. Maybe I'm going through the worst thing right now.
Wow. So, it'll be over.
We're getting real here. So like in the last month, so my client roster is not very big because I don't want to work with a lot of people and I can, you know, make the amount of money that I need to pay my bills and to have the kind of lifestyle that I want with very few clients. So I have like four clients. In the past month, three of them have decided to discontinue working with me because of revenue issues. One of them is, you know, discontinuing that area of work in her business. And one of them like told me that, Crunch, like after a year of working together with you, I filled up my entire client roster and started a wait list and filled my wait list. And I just don't have any more capacity for new clients. So thank you very much for your work, but no thanks. So I did such a good job that I priced, like I worked myself out of a job. So at this moment is kind of maybe the difficult spot in my entrepreneurship journey. And what it has prompted me to do is rethink like what I want to be doing, you know, because I don't know, I am a big believer in the fact that the universe sends you signs, right? Like, so this has never happened to me in 5 years of being an entrepreneur that three clients, like 75% of my clients have just decided to like,
stop.
I'm not doing this anymore, you know? So like, there's something there. So for me, it's been a moment of like, okay, let's take stock. Like, what do I like about my current business? What do I want to do going forward? Like, is there something that needs to shift? Is there somewhere else I want to be focusing my efforts and energy? You know, is there a better use of my time? And, you know, maybe I'm realizing that copywriting, as good as I am at it, like it might just be in my zone of excellence, which is where I am very, very good at what I do, but it's not, you know, what I'm called to do in my zone of genius, you know? So that's a difficult situation that I'm in right now and I haven't overcome it yet. I'll call you back in like 6 months.
So to be continued.
Okay. But you know, I think you have a good positive mindset there, though, because a lot of people would beat themselves up at this point in time and say, okay, what am I doing wrong? And they would pump the brakes. They would get very depressed. But you're doing a self-reflection on, okay, well, where can I go? What else can I do? Where can I jump off? So you're not automatically turning it as a negative. It's like you said, you fulfilled your purpose for those people. You didn't do anything wrong. So now you're mm-hmm. trying to see how you can pivot. And that's very good. That's not everybody has that thought.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I could try to get more clients. And I'm sure like if I tried really hard, I would get more clients in the copy and content writing space. But I'm also starting to realize that maybe this is not what I want to be doing. Like, this is not what lights me up. It's not what brings me super a lot of joy. And I want to be living a life full of joy and excitement. And, you know, maybe this is not it anymore. And it served its purpose for the last 5 years, right? Like, it's allowed me to travel and been to lots mm-hmm. of places and sustained my lifestyle and done all kinds of incredible things. And I'm very grateful for that business. But I think part of being an entrepreneur is also knowing when to make that shift, right? Like knowing when to pivot, like not just sticking your heels and say like, I have done this for so long, I have to continue doing it. Like even as the signs are pointing you in a completely different direction. Sometimes you just got to say like, okay, it's brought me this far. This is it. We're going to say goodbye now. We're going to go somewhere else. Do something else, you know? So knowing when to quit.
Right. I love that. And that's where I am with my graphic design and branding. I've kind of shifted away from that some more, and I'm more now into the art aspect of doing my creativity. And that brings me more joy and less of the business side of it. You know what I'm saying? People, either you buy it or you don't, you know? So it's totally different. And that's where I am now. So I totally understand that. Well, you touched on it a little bit earlier about, the challenges you wish you had known that this was going to be challenging when you first started. Is that the main thing that you would say you wish you knew then that you know now?
Well, yeah, I guess. Because I think also recently, especially like in light of the pandemic and how things have moved online, a lot of people are talking about like, oh yeah, if you just start an online business, start a side hustle, you know, work remotely, be free and that kind of stuff without actually talking about how difficult it is. And honestly, like 95% of businesses fail within the first 5 years, right? Like that's not a great success rate, you know? So I think it is a lot more challenging than we make it out to be. And it's so easy to look at social media and see like all these people who run their own online businesses. They're like, oh, I made a six-figure launch. I made 7 figures just sleeping in my pajamas or whatever things that people are saying these days. Right. And it's easy to fall into that trap of like, oh, it's so easy. Like these random people are doing it. I can do it too without realizing that like, that six-figure launch came on the back of 3 years of building your audience,
right?
That making money while you sleep kind of aesthetic came from 5 years of networking and building a product, having multiple failed launches before that. And then now you're at the point where you're like, I put something out and people are ready to buy it, right? Like, people don't talk about that or they don't talk about that enough. And then it's easy to just go on these people's pages and see like, oh, they're making six-figure launches. Like I can do that too.
That's right.
So I wish like, you know, although when I got into online business, like it wasn't a big thing. So like, I don't think that many people were talking about how easy it is, but right now the general narrative is that it's easy. It's something everybody can do. And I think it also like kind of promotes this negative what's the word that I'm looking for, this negative idea that we should all be working extra beyond our 9 to 5, we should have a side hustle. And that's, I feel like that's really like a bad direction for us to be going in as humans. Like why are we work for ourselves? Like why do we want to work our 9 to 5 and a side hustle and another thing? Like when do we have time to rest and enjoy ourselves? Like is that not the point of being alive?
And you know, well, the thing is that what people misconstrue is that in this economy, in this world economy, yes, you need more than one stream of income, But that doesn't mean it has to be a business. It could be investing in stocks. It could be real estate. It could be anything. It does not need to necessarily be a business. Like you said, everybody doesn't have to have a side hustle, because with that side hustle, there's more responsibility. There's more stress. There's more this. So you don't necessarily, it doesn't mean that that stream has to be a business. And I think that's where the confusion is. People push business, 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 you know. I talk about all the time that even for business owners, when we say seven streams of income, it doesn't have to be seven individual businesses. That seven streams can be coming from one business if you work it the right way, you know, so we just got to change our mindset there.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And like, I mean, you're going to burn out if you're running seven different businesses.
I'm sorry. I know you've seen it in some of the Facebook groups. There's people that are selling lashes, vending machines, doing taxes, all. And it's just like, really?
Right. Mm-hmm. Golf clubs, bowling alley shoes, everything. Fried mm-hmm. chicken, crabs. Yeah, everything.
Yes, just everything. And the other kind of like dangerous thing that I see happening is that everybody's being told to monetize every single skill that they have. Like, you know, I make a nice dinner for my friends one day and they're like, open a restaurant, girl, you gotta have a restaurant. I'm like, why? I just enjoy cooking for myself. Am I not allowed to have a hobby or something that I do just for pleasure? And they're like, no, you should make this a business. You should make a ton of money doing this. And like, but doing that takes the joy out of so many things that we do. Right. Like when I cook for my friends, I do it with love and joy and happiness. And like they are happy and, you know, they enjoy the food because it's from a relationship. Right. Yeah. There is no financial transaction that happens. But once you like add that in there, that joy is just gone. Like it's just depleted. Or like if you love knitting, for example, mm-hmm. and then somebody's like, no, make a knitting business, like turn that thing into a side hustle. You're like, but no, now I have the pressure of having to do it. Like I can't just do it for fun anymore. I can't experiment. Yeah. I have to make it perfect. And that is also a very, very toxic kind of mindset and mentality that people are bringing into our lives. And I feel like, why?
I tell you that. I like to cook with, but the minute I start selling dishes, then there's the pressure of quality and the pressure of, well, not everybody likes seasonings, or is this too sort of to pleasing people, and that takes mm-hmm. the whole love out of it. So no, I don't, you know, I just leave it to my family. So I totally understand that. But then, and then once again, that's the mindset. Well, maybe there, instead of doing it that way, maybe you could just record videos of you cooking and monetize on YouTube and get paid that way. You know, there's ways to make it work, but even still, like you said, that's still pressure to have to record all the time and having the right equipment. So yeah, you got to know when to say no.
Yeah, and just do things for pleasure, for fun, mm-hmm. right? Like we used to do as kids, and to try new things without the ultimate goal of being able to sell it or monetize it in some way, right? Like we need to be able to hold on to that as humans, that our whole purpose on earth is not to make money. I feel like a little bit of that has been forgotten as, you know, society progresses at breakneck speeds towards, you know, everybody just wanting to make more and more and more. And it's like, why? Like, what's the point of making so much money? Or
you know what somebody said recently that I saw? They were like, money does buy happiness. And I think that's what it is that chase of living the lifestyle that we think that we need to have, and seeing money as the gateway to that freedom. And mm-hmm. what I tell people all the time, that's not necessarily true. There are rich people out there that are very depressed, very stressed out. Money does not always sell. Yes, it can make you comfortable and you not have to worry about what bills get paid and stuff, but still that doesn't automatically mean that the day you become a millionaire, all your problems go away. But I think that's what it is that's why everybody's goal is to get more and more money so that we can have less and less problems, so to speak. But money doesn't erase some of those problems.
Exactly. And I think part of that is the messaging that we receive from society, right? Like we live in a capitalist, consumerist, materialist society where it runs based on people buying stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So they have to sell you the idea that buying the Ferrari is going to make you happy. Buying the Louis Vuitton bag is going to make you happy. Yeah. Buying the fancy shoes are going to make you happy, right? But that's not true, right? Like happiness is not found in material goods. It's found in hanging out with your family and friends. It's found in like jumping into a cold pool on a hot summer day, right? It's found in the very simple things of like, I don't know, just the small things, right? That money has very, very little to do with beyond just the basic needs. Like you have accommodation, you have housing, you have food, you have your basic needs taken care of. Beyond that, money doesn't do anything very much.
Right. You're right.
This is like digressed away from
the money. Oh, no, that's fine. That's good. It's a good conversation.
I'm just floating right now. Hold on. Okay. So what's the best thing that you've experienced in your entrepreneurial journey?
The best thing that I've experienced on my entrepreneurial journey has been to connect with people, just all kinds of people, whether that's through like networking events or like through Facebook groups where there are other entrepreneurs. But even beyond that, because entrepreneurship has created for me the pathway to travel, I've been able to interact with hundreds and thousands of people from all over the world to learn more about like what lights them up, what, you know, brings them joy, what they are doing in their lives. How are they living lives that are fulfilling and happy without a lot of money? Or, you know, how are they living lives in a more sustainable way that, you know, we may not consider being from certain economic groups, for example, right? And just having that experience of being able to interact with so many people and learn from their life experiences has been revolutionary for me, and it has been eye-opening. And I think that has been the best thing that entrepreneurship has been able to create for me. Just being able to learn so much from so many different people.
I love that. What about anything crazy? Has anything happened to you that's been absolutely crazy, except for the 3 clients dropping at once? Anything crazy that like you've had any crazy clients or any crazy dealings with other entrepreneurs during your journey?
That's a good question. I think this year has been somewhat of a wild ride in terms of things happening for me and just like the universe sending me gifts. So for example, earlier this year, there was a networking event in Puerto Rico that I wasn't planning to go for because like the ticket was out of my budget and blah, blah. And I was just like, no, this is not the right thing. But then like a week before the event, like somebody was selling a ticket at a discounted price. And I was like, that's within my budget. So I like reached out to her and got the ticket. I was like, I'm going to Puerto Rico. I went to Puerto Rico and met so many cool people at the event. And then one of the people that I met at the event was organizing like a networking dinner, like a small intimate networking dinner for like 20 people. Mm-hmm. Like the ticket is usually $300, but you know, one of the participants couldn't make it and they're gifting your ticket. And when they said that they wanted to give their ticket, I thought of you. And so she gifted ticket to this networking event, and I met more cool people. And you know, I met someone who invited me for free on a scholarship to a retreat in Cancun.
Wow.
And you know, from there, I don't know, it's just been and from that retreat that I went to in Cancun, in 2 weeks I'm going to stay at, you know, to visit one of the people that I met from that retreat in Albany, New York.
Wow.
And in Brooklyn, awesome. New York as well. So, you know, like it's just been like a year of the universe sending me gifts, and it has been wild. But I think also it's just being open to receiving those gifts and saying yes to the opportunities as they come your way, right? Like without second guessing yourself too much. Like, oh no, this is not the right time, or this, it'll never be the right time, right? Sometimes you just gotta go for it.
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that.
You're so blessed.
Yes, I love that. I love it. Nothing's wrong with that. You've done the work.
Right. I will take credit for that.
Troy.
So, who's that? I heard something crazy. I'm sorry. So as far as anything, as far as like success, right? What do you define as success, and do you consider yourself successful right now?
I would say yes, I'm very successful. Because good. To me, success is being able to live life on your terms, which I think not a lot of people can say that they do, right? Like, even as an entrepreneur, a lot of us are chasing, you know, milestones that society or other people around us have told us that we need to hit. Like, oh yes, you need to have a six-figure launch. You need to have a seven-figure business. You need to be able to, you know, whatever, all of this trappings that you have. And I think for a lot of people, they just don't stop to take a moment to consider, like, is this what I really want? Like, right. What is it that is important to me, rather than what everybody else is telling me that I should have? Because right now I live in Mexico. I am free to travel at any moment, like wherever I want. Actually, in 3 days, I'm leaving to go to Toronto, and then I'll be in the US for a month. Next month in August, in 2 months, I'm going to Asia. I'm going to be traveling around Asia for a while. And so I have that freedom. And it's something that not a lot of people can say that they have. So for me, this is my definition of success, right? Like, where I can get to a point where I can travel freely without having to worry about, like, paying the bills, or, you know, whether I'll have enough money to support my travel addiction. And whether I can, like, contribute to mutual aid requests when they come up, or, like, give a friend a helping hand if it's necessary, right? Like, being able to live life on my terms is my definition of success. And to me, I've made it. And I live a life of no regrets. You know, like, if I died tomorrow, I would be completely happy. I'm only 34 years old. And I could say that, like, if I died tomorrow, I would have no regrets about how I've lived my life. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people could say that, right? So if you can't say that about your life, then maybe you're not as successful as you think you are, even if you have that six-figure salary, or you have that house and the partner and the kids and the dog and all of those things. But if they're not what you want, like, deep in your heart, if that's not your deepest desire to have all of these things, then maybe you should take a moment to, like, reconsider, like, what it is that you really want, and how you can create a life that you actually enjoy, right? Not just living life on other people's terms.
I love that. So here's one of our crazy questions for our guests. What's on your playlist? What do you listen to get into your zone, your creative zone?
I listen to liquid drum and bass playlists on Spotify. I don't even know what they are. They're just like rhythmic noise.
Yeah. Like club techno music.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's good for me to help me focus, and it kind of, like, removes the outside distractions so that I can listen to myself think. And I think it's important to create that space where you can hear yourself think sometimes.
Right. Oh, I love it.
So what motivates you?
What motivates me? Ooh. I want to change the world. Who doesn't, right? No. That's part of it. You want to change the world in some way. And I think I also just want to make an impact on others in any small way, to make a difference, to help them shift their perspective, to change the way that they think and how they do things. Maybe, I don't know if you've heard of the story of the starfish.
No, I think I have, but go ahead.
Yeah, so there's this guy walking on the beach at sunrise, and he sees, like, that the beach is full of starfish that have washed up in the waves, right? Like, the waves have thrown them on the shore, and they're all out there, and starfish can't survive out of the water, right? So he's like, wow, there's thousands of them that are just dying on the shore. And in the distance, he sees a child who's picking up the starfish and, like, throwing them back into the ocean, like, one by one. So he goes up to the child, and he's curious, and he's like, what are you doing? And the child says, I'm throwing the starfish back into the ocean because they can't survive out of water. And the guy says, like, but can't you see there are thousands of starfish? Like, you're really not going to make a difference. And the kid says, like, yeah, I can't make a difference to all of them, but to this particular starfish that I have here, I can make a difference. And he throws the starfish back into the ocean, right? So that's I think, what really drives me and motivates me to keep going when things are difficult, is that knowing that I'm going to help one starfish. I don't know who that starfish or how I'm going to help that starfish, but if I help one starfish in my entire life, it would have been worth it. You know, so that's...
I love that. So question for you, how do you deal with imposter syndrome and, you know, issues of self-doubt?
Wow, that's that was a weird sound. I apologize. self-doubt, imposter syndrome, I think they're normal. Sometimes you just gotta kind of like welcome them into their house and say like, okay, hey, I see you doubting yourself. Have a seat. Let's talk about this. Like, what's going on? Like, what is it that's really coming up? Like, why do you feel like you're not good enough? Why do you feel like this is not for you? Or, you know, like, why do you feel like your voice is not important? And get curious about those feelings that come up and treat them with respect. Because I think a lot of these feelings that we hold on to come from a place, from a different place where we were, you know, they were there to look out for us. In some way, they served us, right? And that's why we hold on to them. And so I think it's just a matter of like acknowledging them, inviting them in into a respectful conversation and to tell them like sometimes, okay, I get that you are afraid or that you worry that people are going to laugh at you or that you're not good enough. But you know what? We're going to go ahead and do this anyway, because you can still make those decisions with the imposter syndrome, with the self-doubt, and take the action anyways, right? It's the same way as like dealing with fear. Things are scary half the time with entrepreneurship. You're like, I'm going to pitch this company $100,000 contract and they could say no, they could laugh at me or like whatever, right? You just go ahead and do it anyways, right?
Right.
It works out or it doesn't, and you just accept it as it is and move on from there, right? Like, don't make it mean too much about who you are or what you're doing or take it too personally.
I kind of like that though, the way you said it, because it's kind of like embracing it when it shows up. Okay, that means that I'm about to do something that I might not normally do, so I'm gonna accept this challenge. That's why you're here, to make me accept that challenge where normally I wouldn't. So I like that perspective.
Yeah, it's definitely like a point of growth, right? Like self-doubt and imposter syndrome don't come when you are doing the normal things that you're always doing. They show up when you are about to do something bigger, something beyond your comfort zone, right? And that's really where the growth happens. And we're all here for a journey of growth in our entire lives, right? Like once you stop growing, you start dying.
Right. I like that.
Briefly knowledge about mentors and coaches and different things like that. Do you have a mentor? And how important do you think it is as far as developing in your entrepreneurial journey?
I think having a coach or a mentor or somebody who's further along in the journey that you want to take to help and guide you and kind of like even just to point out like, hey, maybe you're looking at things from a different perspective or, you know, like I experienced this 3 years ago and I did this. Maybe it will help you. Just having somebody along for the ride to kind of like guide you and support you, I think is really, really helpful. So I would say that the second that you can afford it or like, you know, get yourself a mentor or coach or somebody to kind of like also keep you accountable, right? Like sometimes the fear just gets too much. The self-doubt just gets too much. And you're like, no, I'm not doing anything. But then if you have somebody else on your team who's like, you know what? Like, I feel that you are hitting a wall or you're getting into your mind too much. Like, let's talk about it. Having somebody else there to like support you through that journey makes it easier, you know, and then they can keep you accountable. And like, Crunch, you said you were going to like reach out to 5 people. Did you do it?
Right.
You know, it just makes the journey a little bit more pleasant. And, you know, whether it's a friend or a mentor or a coach or whatever, just have people around you who are cheering you on, who are calling you out on your bullshit. Also important, you know, so I think it's invaluable and it will make like the process much easier because you can skip over some of the mistakes that they made, you know, they'll be like, oh, I see you heading right for that pitfall. Like go around, don't fall into that trap.
I love that. And do you think it has to be someone in your industry, or it could just be someone that's just...
I would say, like, it would be even maybe more... It might be helpful to have somebody in your industry. If you can have multiple mentors or multiple, like, besties, have somebody in your industry and somebody outside of your industry. Because sometimes people in the industry are just so, like, fixated on, like, this is how things are done, that they can't offer you a fresh perspective. But somebody who's completely new to the industry would be like, hey, in my industry, we do things in this way. Like, why don't you try applying to your industry? Like, maybe it could be something like cool. Right. And, you know, I think it's always a good idea to have a fresh perspective, but also like somebody with like industry know-how and like, oh, this is how you get a contract in government, for example. Right. Like they have so many hoops to jump through. So if you have that expertise right. as well, like that could be useful. So, you know, if you could have best of both worlds.
I love that. I love that. And I think people also need to be open, because sometimes we always look for the large ones, the ones that are making eight figures to be mentors. And sometimes we just need somebody that's one or two steps ahead of us sometimes, you know, and keeps it, you know, that keeps it more attainable sometimes as well. So I think people need to be aware of that as well.
That's a very good point. And yes, I think there's definitely value in like just having someone along by your side who's just a little bit ahead, because sometimes when people get that far ahead, like to the eight-figure level, they've forgotten what it's like to be charging $200 for one thing, you know, and to them, $200 is pocket change, right? It like right. falls out of their pocket. They keep walking because their time is worth more than that.
Right, exactly.
Right. But to us, like, you know, where you are still at the starting stages, for example, like $200 is a huge sum of money. Like nobody's ever paid me that before. Like, right. you know, so like having that perspective, like from somebody who's just a little bit further along is nice, I think. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you've definitely touched on a lot of stuff and given us a lot of insight, and I appreciate it. What is your one last final piece of advice to somebody that's just becoming an entrepreneur or even thinking about becoming an entrepreneur?
Biggest piece of advice would be take action towards your dreams, right? Otherwise, they're just gonna be dreams, right? Like, whether it's one small step, like, do the one thing today that you can do and take that one small step, because every journey has to start, right? Like, if you don't even start, you're not gonna get anywhere. So just start something, and maybe you mess up, maybe you make mistakes. Like, it's fine, you can change it. You can, you know, edit it. You can go back, you can apologize. Change your mind. It's like you don't want to be an entrepreneur anymore. It's fine. But you gotta try something, you know?
Oh, absolutely. We fail our way to success, and people don't highlight that enough.
Absolutely. I love that.
Awesome. Well, how can people find you online, or if they want to work with you?
My website is crunchranjani.com. It's under transformation to, yeah. you know, prepare for the next adventure that's coming my way. But you can also connect with me on Instagram. I'm crunchtini, or just search me on Google and I should appear as one of the top 10 searches. Facebook, LinkedIn, I'm everywhere. So just search my name and I'll be there.
awesome. Well, it's definitely been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking us on your journey.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a brilliant conversation.
Thank you.
Are you an entrepreneur or a small business owner? Or is your target audience entrepreneurs or business owners? Then we definitely have a spot for you. Become an advertiser or an actual guest on our podcast. We are stepping forward and we'd love to have you a part of our team. Send an email to info@entrepreneurshiphappens.com and we'll get right back to you and get you all scheduled and on our list. See you then. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Join us next week when we speak to esthetician and skincare bar owner Elle Speed about her journey. Don't forget to share, like, and subscribe. See ya.
In today's economy, many are sitting with heavy questions about their careers, finances, and work-life balance. Maybe you're wondering if working two jobs is worth your valuable time and energy, or how to be more available to yourself and your family, or if now is the right time to make that career transition, career advancement, or jump into entrepreneurship. Hi, my name is Tara Hayslip. I'm the CEO of Grounded Energy 111, international best-selling author and spiritual career mentor. I help entrepreneur women and corporate career women create soul-aligned careers around their lifestyles. If you are or have been feeling like you want to do more with your career by making that change, advancement, or start your own business, I invite you to my free monthly workshop, the Be a Boss Workshop, where you'll meet other women going through similar career transitions and experience an interactive group coaching workshop. For more information, follow me on Instagram at grounded_energy111, join the Grounded community through my link tree and my Instagram bio, check things out on my website at www.groundedenergy111.com, or email me at tara@groundedenergy111.com, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.